As the worship team is taking their seats, let me just encourage you to take a moment here. Sometimes, I know for many of you, this is probably the first time you've had a chance to sit down this week. And so let's do just a moment of reflection and bring wherever you're at before the Lord in some time of silent prayer. Father, in all these things that we've brought before you, we say that we need you, and we need you much more than we realize. With that, we pray that you'd continue to soften us towards that reality. Help us to trust in you as one who is good, one who is present, one who is living and active in our life and wants what's best for us according to your glory. We say that your glory and our best interest are not mutually exclusive, but you want to use us in such a way, use our life, use our difficulties, use our struggles, use our successes to point our hearts to you. Lord, as we come today, we want to know you all the more. And we say that the best way to do that is through your word. You have spoken clearly, and we are here to hear that. I thank you for your servant, Sonny. I pray that you'd honor him today in allowing him to have good reflection on the things that he's meditated on as it relates to the truth of this word. That you'd fill him with your spirit. That you encourage him as his desire is to encourage us. Father, you are good. What else is there to say? But thank you. In Christ's name, amen. If you haven't done so already, I'm going to encourage you to open up your Bibles to Luke. Luke chapter 6, verses 27 through 36. Jesus speaking, "But to you who are willing to listen, I say, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who hurt you. If someone slaps you on one cheek, offer the other cheek also. If someone demands your coat, offer your shirt also. Give to anyone who asks, and when things are taken away from you, don't try and get them back. Do to others as you would like them to do to you. If you love only those who love you, why should you get credit for that? Even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good only to those who do good to you, why should you get credit? Even sinners do as much. And if you lend money only to those who can repay you, why should you get credit? Even sinners will lend to the other sinners for a full return. Love your enemies. Do good to them. Lend to them without expecting to be repaid. Then your reward from heaven will be very great, and you will truly be acting like children of the Most High. For he is kind to those who are unthankful and wicked. You must be compassionate as your Father is compassionate." As Sonny is making his way up here, I just want to encourage you that you belong to, or at least attend, a unique church. One of the things that we celebrate here is diversity. And come on up, Sonny. Diversity and plurality as it relates to leadership, and we have a wealth of men who are gifted and capable of teaching God's word with excellence. And with that, I am encouraged that Sonny is going to do that.
I heard
don't
that part
let
with
us
excellence.
Down,
I don't know
Sonny,
about that.
Yeah.
Thanks, Jeff. Appreciate that. Well, it's funny to be standing here before you today. And if 10 years ago you would have told me that I'd be standing before a crowd of people preaching the Word of God, I would have told you you're absolutely crazy. And in second grade, I would have told you the same thing, because in second grade, I think we lived in Ord at that time, I had to write a letter to my mom. It was like Mother's Day. And so I wrote some sweet things about Mom in there, and one line that I definitely remember is, when Mom puts her makeup on, she's ugly, but when she takes it off, she's beautiful. To a second grader, that's really sweet, okay? Aww. Huh? Anyway, I had to read this in front of a crowd of people as a second grader, and when I was done, I took off the stage with the thing, crying, and I did not like speaking in front of people. And so today, to stand before you, I say that just to say thank you. Thank you to some men, Paul, Jeff, for encouraging me, for pushing me to do this. I've been refusing for a while, and finally the Lord said, okay, go for it, and so I did. And for what that's worth, that was just a way to break the ice and tell you guys that God is good. And there's some passages that I love in the Bible, some sections of the Scripture that I really love. One being the book of Romans. The book of Romans is, I don't know, to me, the pinnacle. Justification by faith and all the truth that it lays down for us and the position that we have in Jesus Christ, and that position can never be taken away. The book of Romans is awesome for the believer. It's such an encouragement. But another section of Scripture that I've loved since I first became a Christian, one of the first areas that I read, would be Luke 6. And the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 5 and 7. Now, for the longest time, I thought that those two were the same instance. But I've actually come to find out that maybe they were two separate sermons that Jesus taught. And I could probably believe that, because if you think about it, we use the same kind of things today. We teach the same teachings. There's teachings that go on and they keep repeating. And Jesus, if it's truth, why change it? He didn't have to change the things that he told because he spoke the truth. And so whether he spoke Matthew 5 and 7, the Sermon on the Mount, at a different place, and this place on a level place, which is a different sermon, we can both all agree that the content is very much the same. And so as we look at Luke 6 today, I'll be referring to Matthew a little bit just to help clarify some things and to look at some things, but I won't be turning there probably. But two separate instances where Jesus shares this kind of new way of life. And what I love about it, what I love about both these sections, is that Jesus takes the normal cultural standards of the day, or even the interpretations of the law, and he kind of goes and dumps it on their head. Because, see, they had these things they thought was the right way of doing things. And they had been interpreting the Scripture or the law this way, but Jesus, when he comes on the scene, he takes it and he shakes it up and he dumps it out. And one of his famous sayings is, "You have heard it said, but I say to you." But you have heard it said, you shall not murder. But I say to you, whoever looks at a brother with hate in his heart has already committed murder. Well, I thought I was doing pretty good. I didn't murder anyone. Well, I looked with hate at somebody. So he kind of shakes that up a little bit. You have heard it said, do not commit adultery. But I tell you, anyone who looks at a woman with lust in his heart has already committed it. I don't think he's given a feel-good message, by the way. And he says, blessed are the poor, blessed are the weak, the meek. It's not the rich or the people in prominent positions that are blessed by God. It's actually the very opposite. Matthew's a little more clear on this. It's the poor in spirit. It's those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, right? It's those who are blessed by God. So he takes kind of the standards of the day and he just kind of dumps it. And I love that. I love that, because that's what Jesus does, right? Just when you think you're doing good, just when you think you're doing really well, now, not so much, huh? Because why? The standard that God has is perfect. And if we're thinking we're meeting it, we're not. And Jesus had to get them to see their need for him. It's hard to make a person who thinks they're righteous see their need for anything. But Jesus had to shake it up a little bit and hopefully get them to see their need. Now we know not all will, right? Not all will see their need for Jesus. But he had to take the cultural norms, the standards, and he had to mix it up a little bit and say, hey, you're not getting it quite like you thought you were. And one area of life that will be a struggle, I think, at least for me, is love. Not love for myself, because that's easy. That's really easy. Love for my family, that's pretty easy sometimes. Huh? But love for my enemies, those who would set themselves up against me, for those who would want to see me ruined, for those who don't believe the same way that I do, for those that don't step inside these doors on Sunday morning but go somewhere else. See, this will be a struggle, I think, for us. And if we think we're doing really good at it, there's probably a chance that it needs to get shaken up and dumped out a little bit. So in verse 27, Jesus says, "But I say to you who hear," and this isn't just this me talking to you and you hearing it now, because later on in the end of Luke 6, he's going to tell us what it means to be a hearer. In Luke 6:46, he says, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say? Everyone who comes to me and hears my words and acts on them, I will show you whom he is like. He is like a man building a house who dug deep and laid a foundation on the rock. And when a flood occurred and the torrent burst against that house and could not shake it because it had been well built. But the one who has heard and has not acted accordingly is like a man who built a house on the ground without any foundation. And the torrent burst against it and immediately it collapsed and the ruin of that house was great." James would say it this way: if you just hear it, you don't do it, you delude yourself. Jesus says you're not building upon the rock if you just hear it and you don't do it. At some level, faith in Jesus produces obedience, not the opposite. It's not obedience to this stuff is going to produce faith in us or salvation. I'm not trying to preach that today. But at some point, if the Spirit of God is working in you, the fruit of the Spirit, love, it will come out of you. It's not a build this kind of thing up and work it out of yourself, but at some point, God will be working it. So if these things aren't present, there could be a problem. At some degree. Now, we're not going to get it perfect, right? We know that. The standard is here. That's why we have Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen for that, yeah. But it's easy to sit here and hear and do absolutely nothing different. Absolutely nothing different. Because this is not a weak message that Jesus preached that we're so familiar with. This is him hitting the rock bottom gut level of what it means to be a follower of Jesus Christ. And so at this time frame, you know, the Romans, we know this, the Romans are in control of the area and they have these direct enemies in the Romans around. But the Jews considered anybody outside the Jewish culture, even the Samaritans who were half-Jews, enemies. I mean, so they had tons of enemies surrounding them. And their thought was to do good to each other. So Jesus is going to do one more thing. He's going to say kind of this, but you have heard it said, but he doesn't say that here. It says, but I say to you who hear, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who mistreat you. Whoever hits you on the cheek, offer the other also. And whoever takes away your coat, do not withhold your shirt from him. Give to everyone who asks, and whoever takes away what is yours, do not demand it back. So Jesus, what you're trying to tell me is that if a Samaritan is on the side of the road, I'm supposed to stop and help him and do good to him and risk my being unclean for a minute for the sake of him? Yeah, that's what I'm telling you. I'm supposed to do good to those outside of the Jewish community, outside of the church? Yeah, that's what I'm telling you. But they didn't really do that. They didn't really live that way. The golden rule: treat others the same way you want them to treat you. tell you a story to illustrate this, and I shared this with the youth a while ago, and I shared maybe just a blip of it with you guys a little bit. But I was in prison with a guy, and Brad, and somehow he ended up coming to Hastings when he got out. And Brad started coming around, and man, I was real reserved to him because I knew him before and before prison, and I was real reserved to him and real, you know, you keep your distance, man. But Chris Shade at the shop over there was being involved in his life and trying to witness to him, and you know, Brad needs the Lord. And so one night we were working in the shop together. I'd been there from 7:30 to 9:30, and I was toast. Brad was high on drugs. But I couldn't stay there anymore. I was tired, so I called Chris and said, man, I got to leave. So I locked my toolbox, you know, but I didn't put all my tools away that were on my cart. And I come back the next morning, and some of my tools are missing, some pry bars, you know, some sockets, a couple pliers, you know, little things. And when I seen him the next time, what do you think I said to him? Give it back. And I didn't just say it like that. I said it with a vengeance, you know. I stuck the knife in. I said, I'm really hurt that you would come in here and do this to me and take my stuff, man. You know what showed back up a few days later? My tools. That didn't give me any joy in my life, getting my tools back. When I should have been saying, Brad, I see that you are struggling in life right now. And I've been reserved to you, and I'm sorry I've been reserved to you. Is there any way I can help you? Let me tell you about Jesus. No, I wanted my tools back. See, I wanted to self-preserve myself versus his soul. You see the weight of that? Is that I wanted some $100 tools for the price of Brad's soul or the ability to speak into his life, and I pushed him out and I haven't seen him since. There's a reason Jesus tells us to do good to our enemies, to do good to those who would persecute us, bless those who mistreat us, all those things in there. It's because their soul is more important than your comfort or your monetary status or any of those things. It's just stuff, dude. So he insults you. It's a little blip on your pride. Jesus calls us to be something way more. Way more. If you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners do that. Everybody does that. It's easy to love those who love you. And if you're good to those who are good to you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners do that. Here, I'll scratch your back, you scratch mine. This is working out really good for me. The benefits that I'm receiving from being good to you is really good for me too. And that works out really well for me. Everybody does that. If you lend to those whom you only expect to receive back, what credit is that to you? Everybody does that. Here, I'll loan you $20. Some guy comes to me and asks me, I need $20. I don't know what I'm going to do. Here, I'll give you $20. The next time he comes to me, well, you didn't pay me back last time. Sorry, you're out the door. It doesn't say that. It says give to anyone who asks. That's what it says. There's not a lot of margin for error in there. Now, I'm not saying be super foolish about how you give. If I have a drug addict come up to me and say, give me some money so I can go get something to eat, I'd rather say, here, why don't I take you to get something to eat? I'll buy you some food. But don't use, oh, that would be foolish as an scapegoat to get out of doing what God's called us to do. Oh, that would be foolish. I can't do that. Everybody's good to those who's good to them, who loves those who love them. Jesus' standard is way different than that. His standard's way different. If we're going to be salt and light, if we're going to shine, we can't be just like everybody else. We can't. What difference is there if we're just the same as everybody else? Show your good works. Be salt and light. Show your good works that they will glorify your Father in heaven. And if we're just the same, there is no way God's getting any glory from that, okay? But love your enemies and do good and lend, expecting nothing in return, and your reward will be great. Not the reward from 32 verse 34. That's the scratch your back, I'll scratch yours. Or if I give you this, you're going to give it back to me. That's the reward of that kind of attitude. The reward's already paid back. You give to somebody, they give something back. That's the reward. The eternal reward is there when you give to somebody who can't pay you back. Or you lend to somebody who doesn't have the means to pay it back even. There's a guy who comes to me, and the only time he comes to me is when he needs something. And I know, I see his number, he needs something. Oh, really? So in my mind, I'm doing this right, am I going to ignore the call, huh? Maybe I'll call him back later. Because every time he calls me, he needs something. It's not just, you know, hey, can you come over and help me do this real quick? It's, hey, I need some money. I'm kind of struggling. Or my car broke down and I don't have any money to fix it. Could you buy me a fuel pump and put it in? He's bold enough to ask that, by the way. And me and my wife, we were struggling this one out a little bit. A fuel pump's not the cheapest thing on the earth, by the way. And I said, well, I got that fishing money, you know. I got that fishing money that I keep so I can go fishing in the summer because that's what I like to do. And I remembered Luke 6, give to everyone who asks. I said, I got to give it to him. It wasn't easy. This isn't something that's going to come naturally easy for us to do. And I had to pray, God, I know this is what you want me to do. I don't really want to do it, God. This is what you want me to do. I don't really want to do it, Lord. It took some struggle. I ended up buying the fuel pump, putting it in for him without any help, which turned out to be more of a pain than I ever thought. But in the end, it was rewarding. Does that make any sense? Does that make any sense to the way the world would do it? No. The only way it made sense if he would have paid me back and helped me put it in. But when he calls again, I'll look at the phone and I'll go, well, hello, Kenny. Huh? Because that's what God's called us to do. That's what he's called us to do. We don't work for a reward that is here. We work for one that's eternal. This is just a blip on the map. And to love like this takes getting over ourselves just a little bit and allowing ourselves to be submitted to the Word of God and to His Spirit to work these things in us. It's tough sometimes. I'm not saying this is an easy thing to do. This isn't a weeny message. It takes courage. It takes guts to love those who don't love us, to be good to those who constantly mistreat us, to not go back and gossip about people who talk about us all the time. It takes guts. It takes more than that. It takes the Spirit of God working in us. I know this. So when your back's against the wall and you hear this love your enemies passage, you better start praying. Because God's trying to use you for something. and you will be sons of the Most High. It's not that my version says, Jeff's version probably read just a little bit better the way that I would translate it. You know, you will be sons of the Most High. Probably you will prove yourselves to be sons of the Most High. It's not this loving and doing these works that are going to make us sons of the Most High, but we prove ourselves to be the sons of the Most High when the Spirit of love is poured out upon those who are enemies and they see our love. We prove ourselves to be sons of the Most High. Was that clear? I felt like that wasn't that clear. Give me a little head nod, a little, yeah, no. Yeah, all right. That's what I do to the youth all the time. But we prove ourselves when we act according to his word to be who he calls us, sons and daughters of God. We don't earn it. We prove to be. Faith without works is dead. That kind of, James, all this ties a little bit together here. And be merciful just as your Father is merciful. Be loving just as your Father is loving. And there's no better instance of this acting and imitating the Son of God as the cross of Jesus Christ. Because before you knew him, he considered you an enemy. But God demonstrated his own love towards us in that while we were still sinners, translation, while we were still enemies, he died for us. Rarely will someone die for their, you know, for a good man, but maybe sometimes, you know. But he died for you. He died for me. What better sacrifice, what greater sacrifice, what better example is there than loving your enemies than to lay down your life for them? He's not calling us to do something that he didn't do. He's calling us to follow in his footsteps. No pupil is above his teacher. We simply, as the Father acts, Jesus acts. As Jesus acts, we act. We follow that pattern. He's our model. Praise God that he wasn't worried about self-preservation or himself or making himself look good or having a good reputation. Paul would say we'd still be dead in our sins, right? That's kind of the language he would use. We're simply supposed to imitate. And we don't imitate the Father or the Son more than we love our enemies. When we are good to those who aren't good to us. When we pour out to those who don't pay it back. This is a radical kind of love that he's called us to. I get pretty passionate about this point in this message. I'm going to take a breath. But I know that God has placed people in your life. Maybe we wouldn't call them enemies. But man, they're kind of annoying. Huh? I just would rather like ignore them than deal with them, right? And he's placed people in your life that you're supposed to shine for him. You're supposed to keep your saltiness for him. And if they keep coming back, you keep doing good to them. You keep loving them. I can't imagine what would happen if this church grabbed onto this thing and started praying, God, this is the love that I want. Show me how to love this way. Give me the strength when you show that me how to love this way to do it. What would happen in this place, in Hastings, wherever your sphere of influence is? Friday, I'll share one more illustration. I wasn't sure I was going to. Friday, I'm a mechanic most of the time, for some of you guys that don't know that. Guy at, I do work for it. It's not the shop that I work for directly, but it's somebody that I do work for. ask me to do something that's rather unethical. He's kind of an intimidating dude, I'm not going to lie, all right? And so I had to sit in his office, hand him a paper, and say, this one, I'm not going to do. And so he fumbled with his papers on his desk, and he goes, well, it's my car, and this is what I want done, and that's what I want done to my car. And I said, well, then you can do it. And I went away from there. That's not the point of the story. I went away from there stewing. You know what I mean? Like, I was mad. I had like 10 blocks to drive before I got back to the shop. You know, I'm on fire. I'm kind of a fiery little guy sometimes. But he had set himself up against me as an enemy, asking me to do something that is wrong. And my first intention was to go back to the shop, and I did a little, and go back, and like, this is what he wants us to do, and there had to be some communication there, but it's like, this guy. And on the way home, I'm thinking, dude, you're preaching on Sunday about loving your enemies. I haven't even prayed for this guy yet. Because what's it show me? That the condition of his heart is one unsurrendered to Jesus Christ. And so on the way home, I prayed for him. Now Monday, I don't know what tomorrow brings. We'll see. It's going to be good. I have a feeling, huh? Because I'll have to go see him. But see, our first reaction sometimes is to, self-preservation. When it should be to pray, to bless, to do good, to live different, to follow the example of Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Father God, Lord, I do bless your name. I thank you, Lord, for passages like this. I thank you for your goodness, Lord, to us, your love extended to us upon the cross of Jesus Christ, where you are the prime example of love, Lord, where you poured out for people who mistreated and insulted you, who beat you, but yet, Lord, upon the cross, you said, forgive them. Lord, help us to follow the teacher. Help us to follow you. Help us to treat others the way that we would want to be treated. Help us to be merciful as you are merciful, Lord. Help us to be different. We pray. Amen. Amen.